Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Now, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and to lead us deeper into this, your word, so that we can walk straighter and stronger in the Spirit. And Father, be with us now throughout the services this morning and throughout this day. Have mercy upon us, Father. We know you love us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking to you this morning from chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. You know, there's a lot of things in this Word of God that the church is not doing. And most of it is because you can't get people into the church. They just absolutely will not do what the Word has told them to do. They don't want to believe in it. They don't want to walk in it. They're walking with a lot of fear, but the fear of this world, instead of walking with the fear of God, what God can do to us. And to get them in church is almost impossible. They were supposed to have been 10 here this morning. Where they at? I made arrangements at the restaurant for 10 people. They wanted to know if I was sure. I told them, well, yeah, they told me they was coming. And most of them are members. But where they at? There's four of us.
Jericho.
Huh? Huh?
Terry call in? Did Terry call in?
Eric.
Terry.
Terry. Not yet. No, not yet. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the fire of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idler, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person, and may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. You know, we find so much of this going on today in our world, and it's getting more prevalent all the time and more acceptable. And it probably has not missed not one of our families. It hasn't missed mine, I know. Fornicators. Just that one. You see, we're not the only one that had this problem. They had it back in the early days of the church. Paul was writing about it. But I think we've probably got more of it going on today than they had in that day even.
It's more like exception.
Huh?
More like everybody. Amen.
You got to talk loud enough for me to hear.
It's more widely acceptable today.
That's right. It is, and it shouldn't be, because just like it said here, those that are living that kind of life will be taken away from us. So that means our family members that are living this kind of life not going to make heaven our home. So if you make heaven your home, they're not going to be with you. It's just that simple. But try to get mankind to listen today to you. And he'll laugh at you. And why is it we have to lay a whole lot of it at the door of the church? That's where it's got to lay. Because the church has not been teaching anything about it for many, many years. And then parents started staying away from the church, and they wouldn't send the children that was under them. And we're losing almost two generations of mankind today. We're losing most of our children's generation, and we're losing our grandkids' generation. All because the church quit doing what it was supposed to be doing and went to teaching contrary to God's word, and the belief got into it even. I know I've had it in my family, and I've been told. And you know, I kind of wonder about him today, because I was told, you don't have to go to church to serve God. No, you don't have to. But when you don't, you wind up out here serving things of the world, you wind up on your way to hell. Because that's why God tells us in his word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But we're doing it. I've got two. Great-grandkids right now. Great-granddaughters. If they keep living life the way they're living it, they're on their way to hell. And why? Because they was not sent to church. One of them moved in and lived a year and a half with her boyfriend without being married. That's fornication. Right there. The other one is living with her boyfriend right now. Been with him now, oh, 2 or 3 months that I know of. Got another one that's got two kids out of wedlock. Got one great-grandson that stays locked up more than he's free because he won't behave himself. I've got two daughters right today. I love both of them dearly. And they've done a whole lot for me through my sickness. But you can't get either one of them into the church hardly. One of them I have had here a couple of times you've met her. The other one can't get her in the door. Another daughter of mine told me, said, Dad, I don't go to church today because when I was at home, you made me go. Yes, I did. She went to church until she left home. So she can't stand before God and say, well, you know, Lord, I wasn't taught to go to church. No, because she was taught. But this is what's going on today. And it's being accepted even into our churches or accepting the fact that two people living together is all right. I had a couple. In the last church that I was at before I came here, wanted to join church, join my ministry, join the church. I knew them. I knew what their situation was. I talked to them. I told them, I said, no. Not until you straighten your lives out. Because right now you're living in adultery. You're living fornication. They're living without being married. I talked to him about it. He just looked at me and he said, well, I told him, I said, you know, as long as y'all have been together, you're kind of responsible for each other, but the sexuality has got to stop. And you cannot even see each other's nakedness. You know what his answer was? Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, he could. He just won't. But he went to another church from mine. And where he went, one of them you've attended. But they're accepting so much today in our churches. And people that are really looking for Jesus won't go to them churches. And there are so few of the churches that are actually teaching God's word that they can't hardly find one. So they've got used to being on their own out here, and that's the way they want to keep it. Just like the one that told me, well, you don't have to go to church to serve God. No, and he died and left this world without ever going to church. But I bet you don't find him in heaven either. Because, you see, he wouldn't go to church and learn God's word. He wouldn't really study because he wasn't going to church. And he was always using the Lord's name in vain. There's not much doubt where he's at. And just look around us today. In most of our families today, we see all of this going on. Because man has not took his own responsibility and guided his home. They're letting the wives do it. The wives nowadays are wearing the pants. They're telling the husband what's going on instead of the husband telling them. And that's all against the word of Almighty God. That's why ladies are trying to take over everything. They're taking over most of the churches. Most of your churches right here, right today, this day, here in Meade County, is pastored by a woman. Got one in Gustin. She's pastored by a woman. Got one out on 79. Pastored by a woman. The Methodist Church there in Brandenburg was pastored by a woman. They finally got a man there because they sent her south. She's still pastoring in a Methodist church. Akron, Full Gospel Church of God. Then now it's got a woman preacher in there. It makes you wonder what they want to do with this one. I don't know. I just know I have to be out by the first of the month. All I was told is that they wanted it for something else. But you know, I don't believe God will honor something else in this building. I don't believe he'll do it. But that's between them and him. I did get a hold of a fellow about another church, finally. He didn't have no say-so over it anymore, but he used to get a hold of somebody that does and have them call me about it. I'm hoping they'll call within the next couple of days because there's still a lot of things to do, especially here. I've got all this kitchen stuff's got to be moved. I've got all these tools of mine here that's got to be moved.
Water, across the water, you got to move that down.
Huh?
Across the water.
Yeah.
Got to move the water. I'm
hoping. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to take the stuff down, put it in storage. And, because I ain't got room for it at the house. And so that way we'll still have it. We get another place. And it'll be safe. So, but I've got to straighten everything out at the storage shed first so I can get it all in there. But if we get this other one, I'm sure it's going to take a lot of work. Brother James, you know that as well as I do. Because Brother James knows what I'm talking about. In fact, he's one that kind of brought it to my mind. I knew about it, but I hadn't never really thought about it because last time I seen it, it was hid by bushes. Couldn't hardly see the building. And you can see it a little better now. Of course, some of it's dying out because of the weather, but the change, winter coming along. We're still going to take a chainsaw to clear the front of the building itself, where the bushes growed up right upside the wall. But they've grown into small trees now, not bushes no more. So it is going to take work. I've got a couple other places, too, that I'm checking on. So I'm hoping to have a place to where we won't miss any meetings. Anyway, that's what is going on right now with us. But like I say, it's because of so much of this that we're reading about here in verse 5, or in chapter 5 here. Started out there by talking about fornication and what's going to happen in their day and time. They was even having their father's wives, probably talking about stepsons with stepmothers. And still, that'd be fornication for him and adultery for her. Because more likely he'd be single. But you see, all of this living with two and three living wives, that don't work either. Because that's adultery. And we've got that in our churches. We've got pastors today standing in the podium that's got two and three living wives. And the Word of God says, That's adultery. And no adulterer is going to make it into heaven. The word tells you that also. You find that in Corinthians even. So we'll probably be on that subject one of these days. In fact, it ain't too awful for us from where we're at. But we ain't going to get into that right now. He says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, they can be forgiven for that. But they have to take care of it and stop it. They can't continue doing it and be forgiven, because they'd have to be forgiven every day. That don't work. Just over and over and over and over. No, that don't work. The word tells you, uh-uh. Nope. Don't work at all. Now verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. I'm going to take it on down through 8. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good, knowing ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not of old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you know, when you look at that, the discipline in the early church was guided a lot stronger than what it has been in our last 50 to 60 years here in our land. Now, there was a time in my day and time, I can remember it, when I was younger, man, everybody lived in the community. When it got church time, everybody went to church, whether they actually were church members or not. But they all went. Some of them, just because they didn't want their neighbors thinking, well, they ought to be in church and they ain't. But they went. And the churches back then were all teaching God's word. And they were all, every one of them was baptizing the same way. They was all baptizing in Jesus' name. Now, while I was still a young man, is when Satan started getting his nose into the church and started changing things. And he did so by first changing baptism. That was the first thing he changed in the church, was baptism. Most of your denominational churches quit baptizing in Jesus' name and went baptizing by John's baptism In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. None of them was teaching what baptism really does for you. So most people today that even has been baptized really don't know what baptism does for you. In fact, I've got a lady that asked me a question in one of my services. And right today, she hates the ground I walk on. Because she asked me a question, and I answered her honestly. And answered her with the Word of God. And she's sitting in a church right now, running me down. Everybody that listened to her. And the question she asked me during one of the services, down at the end of the service, when I asked if anybody had a question, she raised her hand. I walked back where she was, looked at her. She said, my question is, why is it that when I'm sitting in church, I can't pay attention to what's being said, and I want to sleep? And after I said, well, let me ask you a question. Because she's supposed to be a church member. You're supposed to be even at another church. Pastor, I said, how were you baptized? She said, what do you mean, how? I said, how was you baptized? Well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I was baptized right. I said, no, you wasn't. And that's why. Because the Holy Spirit is not working with you. The Holy Spirit's not keeping you awake. Not keeping you interested in what's being said. Because what's being said is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit don't want you hearing it. I told her, I said, you don't know what baptism does for you, do you? She sat there and looked at me like I had two heads. But I told her what it does for you. Because I don't baptize nobody without telling them. Do I, Dennis? When I baptized Dennis, he got told what he was going to do for him. There's so much. We are not living by God's word. Some of it is not really our fault, but it involves us, and we have to be very careful. We are given instructions for everything in the church. You as a pastor are give instructions on what a pastor is supposed to be, how he is to live. It's all there. His qualifications are all there. While we're there, let's just turn there and look at it, because I don't like telling you things that I don't show you. It's in the Word. In 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, you'll find it. The qualifications. Qualifications for a bishop. That's your pastor. Churches made other things out of bishops, but that's actually your pastor. Says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. His qualifications. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You can't get any plainer. Not a novice. What's a novice? That's one that's unlearned, new. Least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. That's why when we first get into the ministry, we sit under other pastors to learn and have time not only to learn from him, but also to learn from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. But your whole life is laid out for you. Your deacon is the same way. And most of your deacons are never told how to be a deacon, what it takes, what God's requirement is for a deacon. We will read that. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. You see, he just like the pastor, neither one of them can be greedy for money. That's not what they're there for. They're there to do God's work and to get their needs met. In other words, to get what they actually need, not just everything they want. They're not to be greedy. Now, one difference there is, you see, your pastor, he can have no wine. You can't drink wine. You can't drink wine. I can't drink wine. That deacon can drink a little. In other words, at the end of a rough day, he could actually go in and go home and take about a 3 or 4 ounce glass of wine, and it'd be good for him, really. That's why the Bible also tells him to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, because it is good for the digestion system. But your preacher ain't supposed to have any. And that deacon, he better stop with that a little bit. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. In other words, they got to be sitting under somebody for a while. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found out blameless. In other words, he can't have no sin in him. He's got to be blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanders, sober, faithful in all things. God tells us everything, how the church should operate. And those that are supposed to be in charge of how they are to be living and what their life has to be. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well, for they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. God doesn't leave anything out for you and I. It's all here. And that's why we come together in the church, is to learn these things. And when we don't go to church and we don't go to one that will teach you God's word as it is in the Bible, you're going to get messed up and led astray. Because once you keep hearing something over and over and over, sooner or later, your subject goes right along with it. That's why they keep repeating it over and over and over. Now, we were told there also that to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We are to let mankind know these things that are wrong that he's doing. That's why you've heard me tell you many times, I don't walk around no subject. I don't walk around nobody. And you don't come to this church because I say so. You'll come because you want to come. You'll come because you want to know the Word of God. You'll come because you can feel the Spirit of Almighty God. And you'll come because the Spirit will talk to you. You see, I can't give the increase. I can share the word with you. I can tell you what this word says, and I can share my love with you, let you know that I love you, and do everything I can do, but only the Lord can give the increase. I can't. And it's getting harder and harder now to preach his word. Because for the most part, most don't want to learn today. Now, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. We're not to even company, be in company with them. Now you stopping and talking to them about Jesus and talking to them about that kind of life being wrong, that's fine. But you don't go out and do with them and do the things they're doing and associate with them that way. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners. You see, this covetous now, we are told about being covetous, wanting what others have. You see something. You got a man out here, he's got a great big two-story home, nice, brick, you know the inside's got to be fantastic. Don't sit back and say, well, you know, one of these days I just got to have me a home like that. That's covetousness. No. What you need is just a place to lay your head in out of the weather, because we're not of this world. We're just passing through. And that goes for both. That goes for those that belong to Jesus and those that don't belong to him. We're all going to wind up standing before him. When we step out this life and into the next, every one of us is going to stand before him. Well, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. I've stood there. I've been there. That's why you've heard me sing the song I sing once in a while for you. That I've already told my family, that's the song I want sung at my funeral. He touched me, because he did. He touched me. And he'll touch you. But you've got to belong to him. Now, and extortioners, that's the same as stealing. To be an extortioner is the same thing as stealing. Because you're taking things under false pretense. Or with idolaters, we can't worship other idols. We got churches today that'll tell you to take everything to that cross. We're preaching big sermons on it. On taking things to the cross. That cross can't do nothing for you. In fact, we're actually told in God's word that we'd be better off not to even make an image of it. It's the man that hung on that cross. That's where we have to go, to him. That cross ain't going to do nothing for you. But yet they want to teach it. And are teaching it. Now, but no idols. For then must you needs go out of the world. If you are worshiping idols and you're doing any of these things, you're being a fornicator, a covetous, an extortioner, your needs will come from the world. You're not looking to God for your needs. He's the one you and I have to depend on. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. Uh-oh. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idler or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. You're not to have anything to do with him. Or them. You can talk to them about the Lord, but that's it. You don't go nowhere with him. You don't run around with him. You don't take him out and even go fishing with him. You leave him alone. 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Paul is saying he don't have anything to do about judging them that are not of Christ. Do not ye judge them that are within? You see, we can look at each other and hold them to the truth of God's word. But that one that is without that sinner out there, God judges him. We judge the ones within. But 13, but them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Watch who we associate with, run with, get around with. That's God's word, not mine. That's his. But you see, this is the reason that unsaved person out there on his own cannot understand the word of God. He could read this Bible every day and not understand a thing he reads until he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and repents, and until he gets to the point that the Holy Spirit works with him, he's not going to understand nothing. And we're also told that in here. We'll be getting into that one day. Not going there today because it's time to close out. But we'll be getting into that one day. And you'll see where God tells us. You know, and I'll tell you something else too. The world's full of it today. Somebody gets mad at you, what is the first thing that pops in their mind? Don't you think a minute? You're doing something that somebody don't like now. They can be something good you're doing, but they don't like it. They'll lie about it even. But what's the first thing that pops in their mind if you do it to them or with them? I'll just sue you. First thing pops in the mind. I'm going to take you to court, take everything you got. The Bible says no. You don't do that. You don't take man to court. In fact, that's in the next chapter, chapter 6. In fact, I've told you, so let's just, because it ain't that hard to find. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? You see, if you've got anything against someone, you bring it to the church. Have it judged by the church. You don't take it to a civil court. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brother, but goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Not supposed to use your civilian courts, because all of them were before unbelievers. Now let me tell you something. I don't know one judge that's actually a child of God. Don't think you're going to find many of them up there. So we need to watch what we do. Anybody got anything to say? Nope. 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 All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for them to be safe. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, turned its back, walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, took him out of every place he was in. Father, help us to remove them from office that's in our government, that's against the church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to replace them with ones that will work for Jesus, work for the church, work with us to help us put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit see to their needs, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, myself, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breen, his wife Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, these all, Holy Spirit, touch each and every one of us and our families. Work in our families, Father, so that none be lost. All can be turned and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Master, as their Redeemer. Now, Father, Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, lost everything he had, Father, in that flood. The Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, help us to make them lighthouses. But not only lighthouses, but places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my three Pakistan friends, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, may the Holy Spirit see to their needs. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mom Bill and her mother, Sue and David Branson, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, all of these stand in need of a touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with them, guide them. Some of them are in need of a spiritual touch. Some are in need of a physical touch. And some need financial help. Help us all, Father. Be with us throughout the remainder of this day. Keep us according to your will and in your way. bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father. Until then, walk with us, guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless all.